Hi, I'm Mary Lynn Drainoni from Boston University, and I'm going to talk about effects of shift in funding for STI services during health reform changes in Massachusetts. And I am going to talk about Boston Clinic, and it's probably good that I ended up going after Donna because it's a different clinic, so that's really important to note. And I want to acknowledge my colleagues from DPH, Kathy Hsu, who's really been driving this project, who's in the audience, the CDC and CMS, as well as some colleagues at Boston University and Boston Medical Center. Not going to spend a lot of time because I want to make sure that Stephanie can talk. So I won't spend a lot of time in the background, but as Kevin Cranston from Massachusetts talked about yesterday, Massachusetts is different in some ways, and our health reform has changed our delivery and payment landscape as the first state to pass health reform. And as Donna just said, there is a tax penalty. That's one thing she didn't say. If people didn't purchase insurance by the end of 2007, and we have over 98% insured by 2010. And as Kevin briefly mentioned yesterday, the state ceased funding STI clinics due to its fiscal crisis in during the implementation of health reform. And our funding ended in 2009, as Donna said. So one hospital, Boston Medical Center, where this project was done and where I'm affiliated, instead of continuing free services, what we did as we started charging a $75 flat fee for patients who weren't using insurance during their visit. So we want to look at what the impact of that was. So the objectives of this were to look at the impact of stopping the funding and implementing a flat fee on clinic care. And we really had three questions. Does the visit volume change across locations of care? And I'll talk about four locations we looked at within our hospital. We want to look at the level of shift to insurance versus paying the flat fee. We want to see what patients were doing. And we also want to start looking at costs and charges as well as reimbursement for STI visits. So our methods, and this I'm going to walk through a little bit because it's important to understand our time periods. It was a retrospective analysis of ICD-9 coded STI visits. I'll explain that, what that meant, in four locations within our hospital, which is the largest safety net hospital in Boston. We looked at the STI clinic, our primary care clinics, our ED and urgent care, I'm just going to call it ED, and our OBGYN clinic, thinking those were the places where people would go for STI care. And we looked at three time periods. I'm going to call it time one or T1, post-health reform enactment, early implementation of health reform. So that was July 2007 to 2008. Then the second period was reform was implemented, but we still had state funding, 2008 to 2009, or I'll call it time two. And then 2009 to 2010, when the funding ended, the state funding ended. So we had EMR data on all patients who got STI care in our hospital, linked it to outpatient billing, and we looked at ICD-9 coded STI visit volume and STI diagnosis only charges, excluding physician fees. And I have a long list, and I'm not going to go into it, but I can share it with you, of what we called ICD-9 STI visits, because we need to compare the same coded visits across sites. So that was pretty important. Not going to spend a lot of time on demographics because it's not the focus of this, but it's important, and I've got some pretty charts you can see later. But what we saw, basically, there was really no difference in the four clinics across the time periods and who got care at each clinic, but we did see differences in the clinics. So our mean age across all the settings was just over 30, 32 actually, ranging from very young, 18, to quite old. We had some 90-year-olds. 96 was the oldest. And our ED urgent care patients were younger. Our primary care patients are the oldest group. And not surprisingly, more men were seen in our STI clinic. And we're a hospital that really is predominantly non-white, black, African-American, as well as Latino. But over 75% of folks in our STI clinic were male. Our ED patients were black. Our STI clinics tend to be white. And a lot of females as well, over half. I think this is what's important. We really looked at our ICD-9 STI visits. And what we saw in our clinic, and I have the same cutoff problem that you did. I'm not sure what's going on with the computer. But what we saw in our clinic was in the first time period, we had just over 3,200 visits in the STI clinic. We had a huge bump, 49% in time two. And that was really because we had an STI director who was really focused on this, the clinic director, as well as we still had state funding. And then what we saw in the third period was almost a 50% decrease in the STI clinic down to 2,500 visits. So overall, a 20% decrease. So clearly visits changed, the number in the STI clinic. At the same time, we saw almost a doubling in our primary care clinic, and if that would move up. But what I can tell you is primary care increased almost 60% between the first two periods. I'm sorry, 40% and then 60% and overall over a doubling in primary care. So some people clearly shifted basically from STI to primary care, but it still didn't take up the entire number. So we did see a loss overall. And this sort of shows it here. OBGYN basically stays at 2 or 2.7% at the bottom. But we looked at the percent of visits with ICD-9 STI codes, and the red block will show you that primary care really bumped up from less than 1% of their business to being 1.5% of their business being STI. And the STI clinic is clearly the bulk of what we do, 90 to 100%. The last time period, the last 12%, we have 88% of visits with ICD-9 STI codes. The reason for that was there were certain kinds of visits that last 12% that we felt weren't specific enough to clearly be STIs, things like cervicitis, vaginitis, dysuria. But essentially what we're seeing here is that increase in primary care really seems to be making up for some of it. We did look at primary payer over time, and it's cut off at the bottom. The first block is the STI clinic, the first lines, the yellow and all the way to that first blue line. And basically what you see is in our first two time periods, almost all of the funding in the STI clinic, 99% was the state funding. So people didn't use insurance even if they had it. The second group is ED urgent care, and then we keep going from there. But essentially, what we saw is that a shift, and Kevin talked about it a little bit yesterday, we saw in our STI clinic an increase, that blue line, that first blue line over there is our uninsured or other. That's the 50% of people who paid the flat fee. So about half of our patients, and we do see a lot of poor patients, did pay that flat fee in that third time period. The other increase we see was in what we call private insurance. The state subsidized insurance, we code it as private because we can't separate it out from other private insurance. So we saw about a 10% increase. So clearly what we were seeing is as we shifted to loss of state funding, people did pay the fee. We did see an increase with the state insurance through health reform, and then also an increase in our public insurance as well. We didn't see these shifts in our other sites at all. So a small increase in private and primary care, which could be related, again, to health reform and people getting insurance. The other thing we looked at, as I talked about, was we wanted to look at charges and costs per visit. So we looked only at our ICD-9 STI visits, and this only looks at the other three sites. We couldn't look at this in the STI clinic because that kind of data wasn't captured in the same way. We didn't have billing data initially as more of a safety net hospital. But what we see here, and the two blue lines are the ED cost and payment, the two purple lines are the OBGYN, and the green are the primary care. So what we see here is it's around $1,000 for an STI diagnosis to be, that's the charge in the ED. Closer to $500 to $600 in OBGYN, $350 to $400 mean in primary care. The payments, though, are significantly different, what we recoup. So we're recouping only $125 to $250, no matter what we're charging. So, and this table actually shows, OBGYN's cut off again, essentially the percent of charges reimbursed. So the data wasn't available for our STI clinic. We get about a quarter consistently of the money in the ED, about 30, somewhere between 27 and 33% in primary care. OBGYN, we were recouping about somewhere between 37 and 45%. What this doesn't necessarily mean, even though it's best in OB, it doesn't necessarily mean it's not safe to assume that OB bills better. Could be, but we don't think that's what it might be. It may be that there's different people, maybe more serious diagnoses being seen and different sites, or colposcopies, for example, in OB. So, but it's just important to understand their charges reimbursed. Essentially, aggregate data can't give us this information. So what are the limitations of this, looking at these shifts in funding and payment? This is single institution data, but it's derived from our larger safety net hospital. The aggregate data is a real issue for us. You know, we looked at demographics, visit volume, and charges and payments. What we can't distinguish is where do those 4,500 patients go? Are those the same people that bumped up 900 more people in primary care? Or are they different people? So we're not sure where our former patients are going for care. You really need an individual analysis to look at that. We don't know. We also don't know if by the four sites it's the same people or people with more serious diagnoses. Are they similar? Are they different? And the outpatient billing record did not consistently track the self-pay component. So hopefully that will improve. And I think importantly also, this doesn't address quality of care for specific diagnoses or chief complaints. And we have some phase two plan work to really look at this issue, looking at the same diagnosis across the four sites to see what did people get, what was charged, and how did that work. So in conclusion, as health reform implementation progressed, we did see an approximate doubling in the volume of ICD-9 STI-coded visits in primary care, which is pretty important. Although the proportion remains low, we saw that bump up. It was stable in our ED and our OBGYN site. And clearly, after we instituted a flat fee in our STI clinic, we did see a dramatic decrease in patient volume, but 50% were still paying the flat fee of $75. Is it different than 110 or 250? That's a real question, I think. But that's really important to look at. And then for our ICD-9 STI diagnosis-only visits, the charges really varied dramatically across sites, and the percent of charges reimbursed varied across settings. So I think it's really important to understand. Again, I think we're really starting to address the aggregate, and this is some early data to look at that, but what is the real question about quality? And we want to move forward with that. And we have lots of other slides looking at gender and this and that. We can share that if and when we get some time. Okay.